From Luke chapter 19, Asahah 19. One of three occasions when the Bible tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ weeping. في ثلاث مناسبات الكتاب المقدس بيخبرنا فيها عن الرب يسوع المسيح إنه بكي. One of them is John chapter 11 with regard to Lazarus. يوحنا إصحاح 11 وتحديدا بالنسبة لعازر. Let's read from John 11 and from verse 32. يوحنا 11:32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. He saw the weeping of Mary and Martha. He saw the weeping of others in their company, and he wept. Even though he knew what he was about to do, even though he knew that he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse, actually 7, excuse me, not 17. Abranin 5, 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Most likely this is a reference to the time of prayer which the Lord Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane. صلاة الرب يسوع المسيح في حديقة جثيماني. Lord, if it is possible that this cup depart from me, that this cup pass over me, إن أمكن أن يعبر عني هذا الكأس. لكن ليس مشيئتي بل مشيئتك, not my will, but thine be done. Strong crying and tears, the Lord Jesus coming to suffer for our sakes, to suffer as our substitute, to suffer in our place. يتألم كبديل عنا مكاننا بالألام يلي نحن مفروض نتحملها بسبب خطايانا. So, there is John chapter 11 and the tomb of Lazarus. There is the Garden of Gethsemane. And the third time that the weeping of the Lord Jesus is mentioned is in our passage in Luke chapter 19. Verse 41 specifically says that when he was come near to the city, that is the city of Jerusalem, he beheld it, he wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The word here for wept is a strong word. Sometimes when people weep, you know, their eyes water a little bit. But here it's stronger than that. It indicates cries and sobbing. يعني بكاء مش هيك خفيف, بكاء واضح جدا وقوي. He lamented over the city, حزن على المدينة. Turn with me to the Old Testament and let's read two statements that come to us from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, first of all, Jeremiah 9 and verse 1, Ermia 9:1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Going to the book of Lamentations, which follows Jeremiah, and of course is Jeremiah's work as well. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 48 and 49. Marati ermiya sahtleti wa al-adet min 40 wa 49. My eye runs down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickles down and ceases not without any intermission. It's interesting to think of those things, of course, applying to Jeremiah, but in some sense also possibly pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw the city, when he was come near to it and he beheld it, he wept over it in a very real and a very evident way. بكاء حقيقي وواضح جدا. Let's think of the sadness of the Lord Jesus. Let's think of his grief. This is not an outward act. This is not an actor who's playing a part and the part requires him to cry. So he's a good actor, starts crying. This is someone who felt grief and sadness in his heart, and it reflected itself in a visible and outward way. Think of the timing and the circumstances, and think about the things that were going on. The occasion that was taking place. The occasion that was taking place might have been an occasion when a person would not think of crying, when a person would not think of weeping, when instead a person and a person's heart would head in the other direction, in the direction of rejoicing, of gladness, contentment, satisfaction. We began our reading with the Lord Jesus telling his disciples to go and to get the colt, the donkey, on which no man had ever ridden. Now, what did the disciples do? The disciples went. They obeyed. Now, someone might say, they obeyed, so what? Well, they didn't always obey, and we know that we don't always obey, and we know that when we do obey, that this is actually a good thing and a cause for gladness and joy. And, of course, they went and they found the colt, and the Lord Jesus had told them, that you say certain things if anyone asks you. They asked them, and they said the things, and apparently the people who owned this little donkey did not have any problem releasing him for the use of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. That's something to be glad about. Multitudes, as he drew near to the city. Multitudes came to be part of this situation. مجموعات من الناس دخلوا إلى الصورة. They were praising him. عم بمجدو. They were spreading their clothes before him. So that as he was riding on this little donkey, the donkey would step upon these clothes. Now someone might say, why would people do that? It was a custom of the time. It was a way of honoring people, one story, I don't know whether it's true, much later than that, Queen Elizabeth I, it is said that when she was walking at one point and there was a little puddle, الملكي إليزابيث الأولى عم تمشي وفي هيك بركة مي صغيرة بدل ما تدعس فيها, Sir Walter Raleigh بيشلح الرداء تبعه, takes off his cloak and lays it down on the ground so that she won't step in the puddle. So, not just the custom of that time, but at least known in some other times as well. We understand that they were also doing what? that they were cutting branches and spreading them before him. This is not mentioned, I believe, in our passage. It's mentioned in the corresponding passage in the Gospel of John. Palm branches, in particular, were brought and they were waved. And again, this is a way of honoring a particular person. Look at verse 37. It says that the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen. Afekun, good for you. Good for you. Praising God, something that's always appropriate. And they had indeed seen many things which the Lord Jesus had done already. Good to remember them, and good to remember them in the right way, in a way that leads to praising God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, it's true. It is very true that a few days later, a lot of this would completely evaporate. كتير من هالتجاوب كان تجاوب يمكن سطحي وبعد 3-4 أيام إجا وقت صلب المسيح والمجموعة اللي كانت موجودة وقتها صرخت اصلبوه وطلبت المسيح بدل ما تطلب برباس بالنسبة للإفراج عن شخص محبوس. Later on, the crowd would say, crucify him, and they would call for the release of Barabbas instead of his release. Still, what was taking place here was a situation that one could describe as a joyful situation. A joyful situation. The Lord Jesus wept in spite of this joy. He wept in spite of the joy of the disciples. I was just saying that the crowd, many of them, later on would say something else. But the disciples, their response to the Lord Jesus and to the ministry of the Lord Jesus was more genuine than the response of others. More true, more from the heart. تجاوب التلاميذ مع خدمة المسيح هو تجاوب حقيقي أكثر وقلبي أكثر من الشيء الموجود عند الناس بشكل إجمالي. And remember that the Lord Jesus, on a previous occasion, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus rejoiced when his disciples rejoiced. In fact, one of the very few occasions where it is said that he rejoiced, Luke chapter 10, and first of all, verse 17, Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And the Lord Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and the power of the enemy. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that your spirits are the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 10, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And he said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. And you have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In thy sight. In that hour, the Lord Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, a strong word in Arabic, tahallal, indicating the strength of what is said. So, when the disciples were rejoicing, the Lord Jesus previously rejoiced. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, rejoicing with those who rejoice. Farihan ma al-farihin. But even at this time, when the disciples were rejoicing, the Lord Jesus wept and lamented. He wept and lamented as we consider the situation and the circumstances. He wept and lamented in spite of the fact that an impressive scene lay before him. There are some people who will tell you, I can't wait until the weekend for me to do what? For me to get out of the city and go where? And go somewhere far away where I can see trees, where I can see greenery, where I can see mountains and valleys. Because seeing such scenes, it brings a certain calm. It brings a certain comfort. It brings a... جبال ولما أشوف وديان هالأشياء تعطيني هيك نوع من الراحة ونوع من الارتياح الطمأنينة. I dare say that to some extent we would all agree with that statement. There's sometimes I go up to Nabi al-Safa, and when I come back down, I go up to some group over there, some church in our fellowship, they're having meetings and they say, come and preach. So go up and I speak there. Then when I come down, sometimes there's a particular scene by the side of the road. This is in Saufar. In Saufar, there's a particular house by the side of the road. It's not a big house. It's not a big house, but just the way it's located and trees around it and garden and landscaping. And sometimes I just stop there just for a minute or two and I just look at that house and I say to myself, it's such a pretty view. All right? It's such a pretty view. Now, what does the Bible say concerning the city of Jerusalem? If you go back to Psalm 48 and verse 2, it says, beautiful for situation. جميل الموقع. جميل الموقع. The joy of the whole earth. فرح الأرض كلها. And we hear of this to some extent in history as well. One of the things that people did in those days, one form of writing, was the writing of the traveler. Even to this day, people do it, but now everyone travels, and so it's not anything as special. But in those days, there were people who traveled, and they would write that I visited Egypt, and I saw this, and I visited Rome, and I saw that. And one traveler of that time, who visited several different cities, Egypt and Rome and Athens, in his writings, he said, although I have visited this place and this place and this place, the most beautiful place is the city of Jerusalem as a location, as a place. Remember also that the temple was a very special building as you approached the city, and especially as you approached it from the Mount of Olives, from the eastern side. If I'm not mistaken, that was the side of the temple, and that's when you would see the temple very clearly. And the temple had been renovated by Herod. It is described in historical writings as a very beautiful and special building. And later on, the disciples would say, look, see what stones and what manner of buildings are here. And faced with a beautiful scene, the Lord Jesus wept and lamented. The Lord Jesus wept and lamented. His thoughts also at this time could have been for himself. Could have been for himself. Remember, just a few days later, Garden of Gethsemane. We already spoke of it. The Bible says that he suffered as no man ever suffered. The Bible says that his visage was marred. حيئته تغيرت أكثر من أي إنسان. أكثر من أي إنسان. And he could have thought of his own sufferings. He could have thought of his own situation. Of that which he would shortly experience. But this is not the way that the Lord Jesus usually thought. In fact, as he carried the cross and went forth to be crucified, and as the women were lamenting, لما كانوا النساء عم يحزنوا وعم يعبروا عن حزن شو قال؟ قال ما تحزنوا علي يحزنوا على أنفسكم. Do not lament for me, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, because judgment is coming. And we could say the judgment was coming on the city of Jerusalem. And this is mentioned in our passage, specifically in verses 43 and 44. Days will come, your enemies will cast a trench around you, and they will surround you, and they will keep you in on every side, and you will be laid even with the ground. And again, from history, we know that when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, some people say it was destroyed so completely that if you were standing in the middle of the city, you would not know that there, you would not have known that a city ever existed in that place. They will lay you even with the ground, and your children within you, your children within you. A certain city in the Middle East some time ago was destroyed as a result of war and conflict. A reporter went there. He found that a good part of the city, half the city or so, had been destroyed. He said to someone, what has happened here? Where is the city? He said, and the man answered, you're standing on the city. And he said, what about the people who lived in this part of the city? And the guy told him, you're probably standing on them as well. This is an actual occurrence. They will lay you even with the ground and your children within you, if you only knew the things which belong to your peace, if you only knew the things which pertain to the day of your visitation, يوم افتقادك, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent unto you. أورشليم أورشليم قاتلة الأنبياء وراجمة المرسلين المرسلين إليها. How often would I have gathered you, like a hen gathers her chicks together. مثل ما الدجاجة بتجمع فراخها بتجمع صيصانها. But you would not. But you would not. The Lord Jesus wept and lamented. He could have thought in many different ways at this particular time. But he saw this city and he responded by weeping. Sometimes we think that God is made of stone. Sometimes we think that God has no feeling. Sometimes we think, oh, he's going to judge people because he is cruel and harsh and lacks any form of sympathy. خشن وقاسي ما في عنده أي نوع من التعاطف ما في عنده أي نوع من الرقة ما في عنده أي نوع من الرأفة. Not true. Not true. The Bible says that God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. لا يفرح الرب بموت الشرير. يفرح بتوبة الشرير. He rejoices in the repentance of the wicked man. But at the same time, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. لا تضلوا. الله لا يشمخ عليه. ما يزرعه الإنسان فإنما إياه يحصد. Jerusalem had planted for a long time things that were not right, things that were not according to God's will. And the time of reaping would come. He had grief in his heart, sadness, greater than the occasion, greater than the rejoicing of his own disciples, greater than the effect of the scene, greater than the prospect of his own sufferings, more important to him than these kinds of considerations, was the situation of this city, the spiritual condition of the people of this city. وضع المدينة وتحديدا الوضع الروحي لسكان هذه المدينة. This grief made him cry. It also made him say something. What did he say? If only you had known. If only there was knowledge instead of so much ignorance. لو في معرفة بدل ما يكون في هالكمية الهائلة من الجهل من عدم المعرفة. But at the same time, look with me at John chapter 12. The ignorance that the people had was an ignorance that was willful. جاهلين بإرادتهم. All right, this is what it says in 2 Peter. يجهلوا هذا الأمر بإرادتهم. This they are willfully ignorant of. John chapter 12, verse 37 says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And John chapter 12 and verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Think with me of the parents of the man who was born blind. John chapter 9. A very interesting story. This man in the city of Jerusalem, and therefore his parents in the city of Jerusalem. Though he had done many miracles. All right, they did not believe on him because they were afraid of the people. The parents of the man born blind, they weren't even willing to do what? They weren't even willing to acknowledge the fact that Jesus was the one who had healed their son. He is of age. Ask him. هو كامل السن. اسألو. There had been witnesses. Remember the witness of John the Baptist, the first prophet. For around 400 years. 400 years is a long time. Think of 400 years back. Think of the world as it was in the year 1600 and the world as it is now and how many things have happened. 400 years is not a short time. Here comes John the Baptist, widely acknowledged. معترف فيه بشكل واسع من قبل عديدين. نبي من عند الرب. A prophet from God. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. لِكَيْ يَشْهَدْ لِلنُّورِ. Just that expression tells you how blind people are. Imagine if I have to bear witness for the light. Well, why don't people see the light? Because they're blind. Why does someone have to bear witness of it? He came to bear witness of the light. The Lord Jesus said, search the scriptures. You think that in them you have eternal life. They testify of me. فتشوا الكتب فيها تظنون أن لكم حياة أبدية وهي التي تشهد لي. The Lord Jesus said that the people of Nineveh believed at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah is here. And the Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And a greater than Solomon is here. Look at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. The beginning of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 and verses 2, 3 and 4. إشعياء واحد ومن عدد اثنين إلى عدد أربعة. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Backward. If only you had known. And they should know. And the ox knows his owner. And the donkey knows his master's crib. If only you had known, if only you had known the things which belong to your peace, the things which belong to your peace. Going back to Isaiah, we were just in chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, and going down a few verses to verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as a wool. They shall be as wool. I remember someone once asking the question, why did the Lord say your sins are like scarlet? And the thing that came to my mind, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, is that if you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, before verse 18, he says that you are like a body that is sick, that is filled with sores. جسم أو جسد مريض ومضروب بقروح بقروح. And perhaps the picture is of that body, and though your sins be as scarlet, like sores. And people have illnesses and they get sores, and the things don't heal, and it takes a long time. And the Lord says, come now. All right? Yes, it's true, the ox knows his master, and the donkey knows, and so on, and you don't know, but let me tell you what I'm going to do about it. Come to me, and your sins, which are as scarlet, shall be white as snow. Naaman, go and wash yourself in that river. It's a simple thing. And the river was actually on his way, returning to his country. He would not have had to go out of his way significantly. And when he did, what happened? No more disease. And his skin returned like the skin of a little child. Of a little child. Things that have to do with your peace. Look at Isaiah 48 and verse 18. Isaiah 48 and verse 18. The Bible says, oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been as a river, and your righteousness as the ways of as the waves of the sea. The hymn writer says, oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Of course, that has to do with God's children, and they already have the greatest blessing of salvation. Here he is speaking of people who do not know what the things that relate to their peace, to their peace. If you had known even you had special opportunities. You had special opportunities. Remember how when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus told him, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he become small, enter again into his mother's womb, and be born again? And the Lord Jesus explained to him that the one who's born of flesh is flesh, and that's a particular birth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have to be born spiritually. He that is born of spirit is spirit. Is a spirit born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Spirit of God. And then Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And what did the Lord Jesus say? He told him, you are a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things. You should know these things. You know God's Word. You know the Old Testament. And by the way, the Old Testament witnesses to the same things as the New Testament. And when the New Testament says that we're saved by grace, what does it do? It goes back to the Old Testament and says the just shall live by faith. When the New Testament says every man is a sinner, the Old Testament says the same thing. You had this opportunity. Remember when the centurion said, I am also a man under authority. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To this man, come, and he comes. And therefore, you do not need to come to me. And I am not worthy that you would enter under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, I have not found such faith. No, not in Israel. They will come from the east and the west, and they will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. You. What a shame, what a tragedy, what a loss it is for someone to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and to do what? Reject and reject and reject. And reject. What a tragedy it would be for you or for me to be in this same situation of which the Lord Jesus spoke. In this your day, in this day that you should be thinking of, in this day that you should have been expecting, in this day which you should have recognized, now is the day of salvation. Today is that day, and now is the accepted time. And today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But you did not know the time of your visitation. You did not recognize that it was your Lord who came unto you. You did not recognize that it was his voice which was speaking to you. You did not recognize that this was your great and grand opportunity. You are ignorant of the things that pertain to your peace. You are unaware of your special opportunities, and you are not taking advantage of them, and therefore what is left is judgment. What is left is judgment. We read verses 43 and 44. I spoke of the destruction of the city, the siege of Jerusalem. We know about it in the year 70. Descriptions of it include all sorts of things that that are harsh and cruel. The Bible tells us that God will judge. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible tells us that hell is real. The Bible tells us of the rich man saying, drop of water, send Lazarus. And Abraham said, it cannot be so. And there's a great gulf fixed between us. And this is the way it will be and continue to be. The Lord Jesus crying over the city. You think that the one who cried over the city, if someone had come to him then in repentance, you think that he would not have received him? The Lord Jesus says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise turn away. الذي يأتي إلي لا أخرجه خارجا. On the cross, the thief, the repentant thief, turned to the Lord Jesus and said, we are suffering, we deserve it. This man has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, مش فضيلك. I don't have time for you now. No, the Lord Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus has a heart for people to be saved. But the question is, do we have a heart to turn to him for salvation? There are lots of people who will go along with a crowd, who will shout, blessed be the name of God, who will praise and who will sing when others are singing. And then a few days later, they'll be doing something else. Are we just taken with appearances and circumstances? Or do we really desire to believe that this is the Christ who died for our sins, according to the scriptures, who was buried and who rose again according to the scriptures? this Christ, if he is our Savior, is the Christ who wept over Jerusalem. The Bible says in the book of Jude and verse 22, of some have compassion, making a difference. Do I have compassion on those around me? Do I desire that they come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior? The Bible says that the heart of the Lord Jesus was moved when he saw the multitudes, how they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said to the disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Al-hisad kathir, al-fa'la qalilun. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord would raise up, that the Lord would send. And just one verse later, he sent them out so that they would bear his message. The Lord Jesus looking upon the city and crying upon it, saying what he said. Do we look upon those around us and do we say, fakhari kassar ba'dum? what people say, let pots break themselves, pots colliding with each other, banging into each other, let them both break, I don't care. The Bible calls upon us to care for the souls of men. We know that the Lord cared for our souls. We know that Jesus came and died for us, and we should show the same spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for our Master. We thank you for the one who rejoiced with the disciples earlier, reminding them that the greatest matter to rejoice about was the fact that their names were written in heaven. We thank you, Lord, because you have revealed these things unto babes. We thank you for our Master who cried over the city of Jerusalem. We thank you for such a burden, such a love, which carried him to the cross, to shed his blood, to give his life, to bear that which we should bear. If only you knew the things which God has done, the things which God has said, the things that have to do with your peace, the opportunities that you have this day of visitation when God has come to you, if you only knew. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to make known these things to those around us, to make known the message of the gospel, the message of Christ and salvation, the message of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. To have compassion on those around us, making a difference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.